Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to The Perceptive Photographer. This is our 213th episode. I hope you are having a great week, getting a chance to get out there and do some amazing creative acts. Or if you're just taking a break, hope you're able to relax and recharge your batteries. Well, we should be coming to the end of something in the United States known as March Madness. If you're in the States, there's no way you probably don't know about March Madness. You may not be involved in it or care about it, but you know why you probably haven't heard about it. And if you're from overseas, March Madness is the culmination of the NCAA, which is the Collegiate Association's basketball tournament, where they take I think they're up to like 68 now teams, but it used to be the 64 best teams in college football, and they play a one-and-done tournament to determine the national champion of college basketball for Division I. It gets a little crazy here in the States around March Madness, because even people who don't follow sports or college basketball get wrapped up in the tournament because of something they call bracketology. You can actually download the bracket ahead of time, and you can then predict or guess on who you think is going to win every one of the basketball games, from a round of 64 teams to 32 teams to Sweet 16 teams, Elite 8 teams, the Final Four, the actual finals with the two teams, and who's ultimately the national champion. The reason this gets such hoopla in the United States is that even people who don't love the NCAA basketball tournament, oftentimes in an office pool or with friends, will participate and fill out a bracket. Usually there's some betting involved, and you're parlaying that into some office money or some friendship money. But you fill out a bracket, and there's teams you may never even heard of, and you're just looking for figuring out kind of who can win the most number of points by winning the most number of games in the NCAA tournament. I was even at the grocery store and heard somebody talking about, they were excited about their bracket. And I said, oh, do you follow college basketball? And they're like, no, I've never seen a game, but we're doing it here. And so I thought it'd be fun to participate. And I'm gonna go, how do you pick your teams? They're like, well, I pick schools that I've heard the names of. And then I like to pick things that are going to be upsets. And I look at who their mascots are. There's all this random sort of ways of thinking about how to pick the different winners. But the thing that was interesting about this is I got to thinking about the notion of this bracket and this bracketology and how excited everybody gets with the bracket, how much energy gets put into the bracket, and thousands and millions of people participating kind of on this bracket to try to figure out who is and what is the ultimate winner that year of the National Basketball Championship. Now, the interesting thing about the tournament is that it's a one-and-done tournament. So even the best team loses in the first round, they're out. So there's a little bit of kind of excitement about that notion of the upset, and that you have to bring your best game every single time if you're going to continue on in the tournament. The reason I provide this long, in-depth explanation is partially for anybody who's never heard of the tournament, but also because I think the bracketology notion, the 64 teams in a one-and-done match to figure out what is the best, or in our case is also going to be the worst, but figure out a way to look at what we do creatively and a way to look at our photography in an interesting way. So thanks for sticking with me through the explanation of the NCAA basketball tournament, but how do we apply that actually into our photography? There's two ways that I think are fun to do this, and I've been trying this out, thinking about this, playing with this bracket notion with these two different ideas. One is to determine what is the best photograph. So you get your 64 photographs that you think are your best photographs. Now, in the basketball tournament, they seed each region. So there's four regions, and each of those regions has 16 teams in them. So your four regions are the Lightroom bracket, the Photoshop bracket, the camera bracket, and the printing bracket. And you're going to take 16 images, and you're going to seed your 16 images into there. So you got to find 64 images that you like, and then you got to stack rank them from top to bottom. So you're going to take your top four images, and each one of those gets to be a number one seed, and you're going to put them in the appropriate bracket. You're going to take your number two seeds, so those will be your next tier best images. You'll take your number two seeds and put them in the bracket. And then you're going to line those images up, and you're going to decide and play the bracket. So you're going to take initially your 64 images, and you're going to compare the number one image to the number 16 image. And which image really is the better of the image? And you got to spend the time to look at these images. Spend 2, 3, 4 minutes looking at those two images. Compositionally, emotion, feeling, understanding, all the things that we would want to do from a literacy standpoint of understanding and thinking about the photograph. Apply that into those images and move the best image into the next round of 32. And you're going to work your way down from those 64 images to your 32 images, to your 16, your 4, and you're eventually going to come up with your number one image. Now, the reason the stack ranking on opposites is important is you got to look for the upset where you seeded a photograph that you weren't really attached to or you didn't really think was necessarily as good as you thought possible, or vice versa, you overrank an image. So having those opposites and looking at each one of those divisions, each one of those regions of photography and bringing those down was going to be an interesting exercise for you. I was surprised in looking at my own images under this lens at how certain images, based on the image that they're competing against, weight differently. So sometimes an image that I didn't think was as strong becomes more interesting given the image that it's competing against. And vice versa, when it actually then hits a stronger image down the road, it's quickly bounced out as I expected. But you've got to be honest with yourself in doing that exercise. I think one of the things it'll do is, one, it might help you rejuvenate a little of your excitement for your photography, making a game out of it. You can download one of the brackets. I'll have a link in the show notes, but you can get a download, an empty bracket for the NCAA tournament if that helps you stack rank and put your photographs in. But it'll be an interesting opportunity for you to come and look at those photographs in a different way and having them do a one-in-one competition and pull themselves out. It might be easy to have little prints of this, or maybe you can do it electronically through whatever your file management system is. But really take the time to kind of figure out what are, across your entire catalog, or the photographs you've shot in the last year, really what are the best 64 and how do they kind of round themselves out. The next exercise was the one that I find more interesting. For me personally, it's about, you know, leveraging what we do well in photography and then not repeating the same mistake over and over again. Well, I think it's oftentimes easier in our creative practice to lean into our strength, to, if we do something well, to just really accelerate that and ignore where our deficits are. There are times where our deficits and our problems can rear their ugly head and make it more challenging for us to create really compelling work. So the next one, I think that the bracket becomes interesting for, and I would use the same bracket, the same template, same regions, just because they're fun for photography naming. But what you want to do here is, and this requires you to do a little bit of brain power. You got to look at your photographs. You got to look at all the things inside your head, all the things your ego does, all the things your insecurities tell you. But you're going to list the 64 things that you struggle with in photography. The 64 things that are a challenge for you. So if in Photoshop it's masking, if it's behind the camera, it is getting focus properly, if your things are in motion, if it's the idea that you can't convey a story, if you don't know how to sequence and edit, if you don't know when you're finished, if you don't know how to print, if you struggle printing black and white versus color, if it's that you can't emotionally connect with all your work, is it that you don't know how to light a portrait? Whatever is in your head, whatever all the things are that you think you don't do well in photography, you're going to list out 64 of those. 64 concerns you have with your photography, and then you're going to stack rank those. Again, just like in the NCAA tournament, we're going to get our number one seeds, our number two seeds, our three seeds, all the way through our 16, and then you're going to head up your biggest issues. Number one versus number 16 in the region. Number two versus number 15 in the region. And you're going to work through which one of those is actually the bigger issue. Which one of those actually causes you more concern when it's weighted against another specific issue. So rather than thinking about, oh, I don't understand lighting ratios for portraiture against everything, is lighting ratios for portraiture against masking in Photoshop, which one of those two is the bigger issue? Head to head, not against your entire history and body of work as a photographer, but of those two issues, which one causes you the most constraint? Which one of those causes you the most angst? And then you're going to move that winner of the loser feelings, into the next round. And then you'll go head to head again with whoever won. You just keep working your way through that bracket. Eventually, you'll end up with your final four issues, the big issues that of all of the issues, start to narrow down and constrain that these are the biggest issues for you. You'll eventually narrow that down into two, and then you'll pick one for your national champion issue of why you struggle in photography. So all of the things we do as creative people, as individuals who are working on being creative, creating photographs from a technical standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint, all of those things get jumbled up into reasons why we can or can't do something. The reason to do this NCAA bracket bracketology exercise is to help us narrow down and really understand and really think about there's a lot of things in our head, and a lot of them probably aren't super significant against the grand scheme of all of the photography we do. And some of them are paramount things that we really do feel like they're blocking us, like they're keeping us from doing something, they're holding us back from our ability to move forward. And the purpose of this exercise is to help us narrow down to really what are those key four issues or two issues or eight issues that we should focus on and other things that we can let go of. Oftentimes, just acknowledging that we have an issue allows us to let go of the issue. The conversation of this is bothering me all of a sudden becomes where it doesn't bother us as much anymore because it's out there. It's no longer bouncing around in our head. So this is a way for us to kind of document and then let go of some of those issues. So I think you might find it interesting and fun, also a challenge to come up with 64. And if you only come up with 32, start with 32. But don't do less than 32. Really push yourself into every little weird thing in your head that's keeping you from creating work. You know, the weather. I mean, simple things like, oh, I don't want to go photograph today because it's raining is a legitimate thing that people come up with, that people struggle with. Oh, I don't like standing around and being cold. I don't like approaching strangers. Whatever it is, there's probably way more than 64 if you get honest with yourself. But come up with that list and work through that bracket and see what you come up with. I think it'd also be an interesting exercise if you're in a photo club to maybe do something for brackets, not just around strengths and weaknesses of photography, but if you're doing a jury competition and rather than just have it sort of be best in show, people wandering, you know, a little stack ranking, a little put together of the bracket, make something a little fun about it. So there's a lot of things I think you could do with your photography that would make this a little bit more interesting by taking that odd, weird office pool excitement around sports that a lot of people don't even watch and yet get connected to somehow in March and run through that exercise together. I hope you have a great week. I hope you get a chance to get out there and do some great photography. I hope you get a chance to actually build a bracket and see what is your best image and then kind of what is the core thing you think you should be focusing on with your photography so that you can let those other things go and really allow yourself to celebrate the greatness that is your creativity and how much you're actually accomplishing if you just kind of let some of that other junk go and let those early round issues disappear. Don't forget, you can always find us on Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, all the places podcasts are found. Hope you have a great week, and I'll see you next time.